A rock, a river, a tree. Hosts to species long since departed, marked the mastodon, the dinosaur, who left dried tokens of their sojourn here, on our planet floor. Any broad alarm of their hastening doom is lost in the gloom of dust and ages. But today, the rock cries out to us, clearly, forcefully. Come, you may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny, but seek no haven in my shadow. I will give you no hiding place down here. You, created only a little lower than the angels, have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouths spilling words, armed for slaughter. The rock cries out to us today. You may stand upon me, but do not hide your face. Across the wall of the world, a river sings a beautiful song. It says, "Come, rest here by my side." Each of you, a bordered country, delicate and strangely made proud, yet thrusting perpetually under siege. Your armed struggles for profit have left collars of waste upon my shore, currents of debris upon my breast. Yet today I call you to my riverside, if you will study war no more. Come, clad in peace, and I will sing the songs the Creator gave to me when I and the tree and the rock were one. Before cynicism was a bloody sear across your brow, and when you yet knew, you still knew nothing. The river sang and sings on. There is a true yearning to respond to the singing river and the wise rock. So say the Asian, the Hispanic, the Jew, the African, the Native American, the Sioux, the Catholic, the Muslim, the French, the Greek, the Irish, the rabbi, the priest, the sheikh, the gay, the straight, the preacher, the privileged, the homeless, the teacher. They hear. They all hear the speaking of the tree. They hear the first and last of every tree speak to humankind today. Come to me, here beside the river. Place yourself beside the river. Each of you, descendant of some passed-on traveler, has been paid for. You, who gave me my first name, you, Pawnee, Apache, Seneca, you, Cherokee Nation, who rested with me, then forced on bloody feet, left me to the employment of other seekers, desperate for gain, starving for gold. You, the Turk, the Arab, the Swede, the German, the Eskimo, the Scot, you, the Ashanti, the Yoruba, the Crew, bought, sold, stolen, arriving on the nightmare, praying for a dream. Here, root yourselves beside me. I am that tree planted by the river, which will not be moved. I, the rock, I, the river, I, the tree. I am yours. Your passages have been paid. Lift up your faces. You have a piercing need for this bright morning dawning for you. History, despite its retching pain, cannot be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again. Lift up your eyes upon this day breaking for you. Give birth again to the dream. Women, children, men, take it into the palms of your hands. Mold it into the shape of your most private need. Sculpt it into the image of your most public self. Lift up your hearts. Each new hour holds new chances for a new beginning. Do not be wedded forever to fear, yoked eternally to brutishness. The horizon leans forward, offering you space to place new steps of change. Here, on the pulse of this fine day, you may have the courage to look up and out and upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country. No less to Midas than the mendicant, no less to you now than the mastodon then. Here, on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes, and into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning.
If we ever needed the Lord before,
sure do need you now.
Sure do need you now.
Sure do need you now.
Sure do need you now. If we ever needed the Lord before,
sure do need you now.
Yeah.
Happy Diwali. Namaste. Welcome, everyone. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. I do like to say the poem was such a beautiful poem by Dr. Maya Angelou. It was just amazing. And it had a deeper meaning, and I was like, wow. We welcome those who are gathering online. Kara is there as your host today. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, Those in the Century. It is on the benches that you're sitting or posted around. If you're new to our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. It's fine. Well, Diwali is the festival of lights, so you know what? Let's do this. Keep doing it. Okay, we're waiting for the number to pop up, and Corey is going to work on that slowly. Okay, here you go. That's the number. If you're new to our community, you can text new on that number. What will happen, it will go to our pastors, and they will reach out to you, and you'll get a bunch of text messages, but in a way, you'll get connected with us. And one of the most amazing ways to connect with our community is through growing in faith. Growing faith helps the newcomers to learn more about our community, and it's an introduction. At the same time, it speaks itself. It's growing in faith. We do have Growing in Faith series underway in Davis, and our next Growing in Faith series opportunity is a retreat here at the table December 1st and 2nd. You can learn more on our website, thetableumc.org. I do like to say thank you for those who have or who has time to share deep commitment. Our deep commitment helps our co-pastors to plan worship and also share life together in kitchen tables. They emerge from our baptismal water and our desire to root our life in the great commandment. I may confess I haven't done my deep commitment yet, but I am planning to sit at a coffee store with quiet and peace and just to my deep commitment, and you can do that. And if you had an opportunity to do so, if you not had an opportunity to do so, we hope you'll take time, most probably today or coming weeks, to complete an online deep commitment, which you can find on our website, thetableumc.org. We invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join our voice in a song called Turning Over Tables.
Fear runs deep, spreading like a virus. Hate is cheap. From afar it costs you nothing. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and mind. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up bridges between us all. Let courage be my willingness to listen, so I can be the wounds in my heart. Let seeds of peace grow in hearts and mouths, that trees of hope give shade to humankind. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and mind. Love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in a stranger, I'm no
Yeah, turning over those tables. And welcome to the table, whether in person or online. My name is Bob Martinez, and at this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place. Sanctuaries, as our musicians help us with some walking music. As we begin this new year with godly play, we remind families that we do receive an offering in godly play, which will be going to support Mustard Seed School, a Montessori-based school for children and who are part of families experiencing homelessness. We also have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout worship, and godly play takes place upstairs and is designed for children in elementary school, kinder through sixth grade. So our reading this morning comes from the Hebrew Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, specifically from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, and 18 through 24. I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and of course, we invite you to follow along. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. It is not the day of the Lord. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Last week, Matt introduced to us the fact, the joyful news, that our wonderful musicians, through Solabel, had released their second album. Amazing, amazing, you guys. And we had the happy privilege of listening to a composition by Hannah Jane last week. Well, this week, we get to hear two more compositions. And the next one is by our very own Omari Tao. Omari? It's about an age-old struggle. It's about our humanity. It's about that ever-present fight that we have against a transgressor, against injustice. And so, at this time, I would ask you to stand, and this is Solabel's Fight.
You can help us out. It's very easy. It's more of a chant than it is a song.
Mm-hmm. for your people, for your community.
Fight!
If you want it, you need to
fight.
If you need it, you've got to
fight.
For your family, for your family.
Fight!
For your family, you've got to
fight.
For your brother, for your brother. For your brother, for your brother. Fight! For your sister, for your sister.
Fight!
For your sister, for your community.
Fight.
If you need it, you really need it.
Fight.
If you want it, you got to just
fight.
Don't hold back now. You must
fight.
Stick together. Stick together. Fight. If you want it. If you need it. If you need it. You've got to fight for your family. For your children,
fight.
For your children, for your community,
fight.
For your people, for your people,
fight.
For your people, eh. For your community,
fight.
For your children, for your people,
fight.
For your people in your community,
fight.
Hey, 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 oh, oh, you got
fight.
Don't hold back now.
Thank you for warming me up, team. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how, with just a few movements, Omari directs us like a choir? As a choir, not like a choir. Thank you, Professor Tao. While many Americans can recall from memory key poetic phrases from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech or his mountaintop speech, fewer know the speech Beyond Vietnam. Reverend Dr. King's Beyond Vietnam was a powerful and angry speech that raged against the Vietnam War. At the time, civil rights leaders publicly condemned him for it. By the time Dr. King made the Beyond Vietnam speech, reportedly he had fallen off the list of the most admired Americans, which is tallied every year by Gallup. It was the most controversial speech, they say, that he ever gave. It was also reportedly the speech he labored over the most. The life of a prophet is not easy, and the messages they bring are harsh and unsettling and demanding. This is the second week of our four-week worship series, which we're calling From Judgment to Hope, a study of the prophets. And last week, Pastor Matt focused on the prophet Micah, and we'll return next week to Zephaniah, and then finally to Haggai. But today, I'm going to focus on Amos that you heard Bob recite for us. Reverend King was followed closely in those footsteps of a prophet named Amos. Because Amos, too, was a social justice preacher of immense vision, a public poet who came forth, and we heard some of it, denouncing those who oppressed the poor, crushed the vulnerable, who turned justice into wormwood. I had to look up wormwood. It's a very bitter plant. He denounced those who toss righteousness onto the ground. Old Testament scholar Dr. Ellen Davis names him Amos, the preacher of justice par excellence in the Bible, and says it's no wonder Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. repeatedly epitomized his own vision by citing Amos's words, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This favorite verse of King's and from Amos presents a really beautiful message, yeah? However, because King is primarily remembered as a civil rights leader and not a Christian theologian, which is why you hear him called Dr. King all the time instead of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in his speech, this verse is often reduced to a platitude and taken out of its biblical context. For Dr. King surely knew that in the verses preceding his now famous quotation, God, through Amos, the prophet, he was denouncing the nation of Israel and informing them that despite what the Israelites might think, the coming of the Lord would mean not their salvation, it would bring on their destruction. So I want to share a few words about the context, really, that was going on with Amos. After the reigns of David and Solomon, the kingdom of Israel had been divided into two countries. The northern kingdom retained the ancient name of Israel and was the larger of the two. And the southern region was the smaller of the two and had the name of Judah. And again, Pastor Matt and I want to really be clear that this is ancient history and not reflective of the current boundaries that we have today of Israel and Gaza and the West Bank. Amos came from the outlying region of Tekoa, south of Jerusalem and Bethlehem in Judah, so the southern region. He traveled north to speak truth to power to those rulers of Israel. And during a time of relative peace for them, a wealthy class had emerged in Israel. And that wealthy class treated the poor unjustly. Amos warned that the Lord's punishment would come in the form of a military disaster. God's people would be held accountable for their injustice and for their arrogance. It was within this broader context that Amos's message to the leaders of Israel is clear. They are bringing down God's judgment upon themselves. While on the one hand, they say they want the coming day of the Lord, when that day comes, he tells them, you're going to meet destruction unless they cease their oppression of the righteous and those in poverty in their midst. In other words, Amos is announcing that the worship, the religious festivals, the offerings that are meant to turn people's hearts towards God have clearly failed to do so. Evil and sin are having free reign instead of righteousness being the rule of law. So given this original intention of the text, it seems that Reverend Dr. King is not just trying to paint a pretty picture of the future for those who heard him speak. No. He's suggesting through the use of the prophetic words of Amos that unless the United States makes justice and righteousness a reality for the least among us, that we as a nation will be destroyed in the coming day of the Lord. You can see how people got upset with him. Just as Amos saw Israel in the time of his day, Reverend Dr. King saw that those who live in poverty were being trampled while the rich stored up more than they could possibly use in multiple lifetimes. And further, through our world influence in that moment, the United States had exported our systemic oppression of those to the margins into the world, i.e., into Vietnam. In other words, trampling on God's children across the planet. For some of us, we weren't born when any of this was going on. For others of us, just me saying this is bringing up lots of old stuff, yeah? remembering a nation that was in turmoil. Reverend Dr. King was birthed out of the tradition of the Black Church and knew that the words of the prophet Amos had meaning for those attempting to realize justice and righteousness in his day. And he loved his country, and he gave his life to bring us in line with the ethical demands of God's beloved community. And we also know he was painfully aware of how we all fall short. In a speech on labor to the striking American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as those who pick up our garbage, those who do that, right? Sanitation workers, wrote about the rich man called Dives that we find in Luke 16, who ignores Lazarus, laying in pain and need at his gate. Dr. Queen said, Dives finally went to hell because he sought to be a conscientious objector in the war against poverty. That was a great line. And I come by here to say that America too is going to hell if she doesn't use her wealth. If Americans doesn't use her vast resources of wealth to end poverty and make it possible for all of God's children to have the basic necessities of life, she too will go to hell. You can see why the New York Times and the Washington Post both opposed him after this speech. Shortly after this warning, he ends it by returning to the famous recitation of Amos 5:24, but with added emphasis and urgency, he wrote it like this: now is the time for justice to roll down like water and righteousness like a ever-flowing stream. Now is the time. It would seem, sadly, that Amos's words still ring true for all of us today. Dr. Walter Brueggemann writes about it for us like this: there is no doubt that our political economy is quite like that found by the prophets, only on a larger scale. And on that larger scale, we can readily identify a political economy that exploits the economically vulnerable. This is accomplished legally through manipulation of tax and credit laws, deregulation of protective measures, maintenance of an unlivable minimum wage, not to mention wage theft, and the endless circles of advantage whereby the well-connected prosper at the expense of everyone else. More widely, war in the Middle East with no sight of a ceasefire really being seriously on the table, and war in Ukraine has killed thousands of civilians, and thousands of those civilians are children. Is not now still the time? The time to give out all the love that we have got, if we want a world filled with justice and peace and harmony. See, Amos imagined a recovery of well-being for Israel and its agricultural life beyond the plundering that would be their judgment. He wrote, on that day I will rise up the booth of David that is fallen and repair its breaches and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, in order that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. The time is surely coming, says the Lord, when the one who plows shall overtake the one who reaps, and the treader of grapes the one who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. They shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall never again be plucked up out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. How might these words of Amos feed our own imagination for what might be possible in our day? How might we imagine and envision an alternative economy which is aligned with God's justice, righteousness, and love? Well, last week we imagined the movement from judgment to hope with the image of the communion table, of Eucharist, which is central to our life together here at the table. And this morning we wonder if another spiritual discipline of the church might help us imagine Amos and Reverend Dr. King's move from judgment to hope. And it is by singing for our lives. It may seem small, but singing creates revolutions, you know. In most settings in which Reverend Dr. King spoke publicly, he was accompanied always by music, whether it was a gospel choir or balladeers, like a young woman with a guitar named Joan Baez. Remember her? His orations were always set and bookended with social justice music. For it is one thing to hear words, and it is another to sing them with our whole bodies. And our music team has given us not one, not two, but 8 songs for us to learn and to take with them out into the world. And we're going to close with one of those, but we wanted to teach the chorus first so you can, as I said, sing it a little more lustily at the end. So will you help us just learn the chorus, Omari?
You're just going to echo what I say, all right? It's pretty easy, yeah. 1, 2, 3, I go. Gotta give out your love, gotta give out your love, gotta give out your love. Gotta give out your love, gotta give out your love. Again, gotta give out your love, gotta give out your love. Gotta give out your love. They'll do something. Gotta give out your love. Gotta give out your love. Gotta give out my love. Gotta give out your 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 love. There you go. You got it. So we'll have that in full voice at the end of the service.
Thank you. Amen. We're ready to go on tour. Dream bucket list. Oh, yes. But even just that little bit helps for me, anyway, in my body, counter all of that heavy judgment and allow my hope to rise. In her poem, which opened worship this morning, Maya Angelou speaks of the perspective of a rock and a river and a tree. 3 witnesses to history standing helplessly by as they are witness to the shameful acts we have committed throughout our generations of humanity. But then her voice comes to us. Lift up your faces. Yeah. You have a piercing need for this bright morning dawning for you, history, despite its wrenching pain, cannot be unlived, but if faced with courage, need not be lived again. May we face each day with courage, recalling the words of the prophets, fueling our own imaginations for God's alternative reality, rooted in justice and grace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Throughout this 4-week worship series, we are holding the writings of the ancient prophets alongside Dr. Walter Brueggemann, who is himself, we would argue, a prophet of this day. A man who's now in his 90s has spent his life living in these texts, which can often come across as so harsh and so challenging. And with that, Dr. Brueggemann invites us to prepare our hearts and our minds for this act that the church makes so everyday, so normal of what we do, but it's an act that might lead us to embody a new way of being in the world. What the church calls Eucharist or communion or common union. And Dr. Brueggemann shares this framing that we invite you to hear once more. In this, Jesus presents an entirely different kind of economy, one infused with the mystery of abundance and a cruciform kind of generosity. 5,000 are fed and 12 baskets of food are left over, one for every tribe of Israel. Jesus transforms the economy by blessing it and breaking it beyond self-interest. From broken Friday bread comes Sunday abundance.
So let us join our hearts and voices as we stand as we are able and willing in this prayer of confession. Let us pray. Save us, Lord, from a religion that ignores the cries of the exploited and oppressed. Lead us into a deeper faith that challenges injustice and makes the sacrifices that must be made to build a society that is ever more truly human. Amen. Hear these words of assurance which come to us from Dr. Brueggemann. God, whose giving knows no end, make us glad recipients of your generosity. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to remember your abundance that we might share it with the world. Let the people say amen.
Amen. And I invite us to join in the practice of the church to recognize and to help us recognize the presence and belovedness of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you. We invite you to turn to a person just to your left or right around you, and to share a symbol of that peace one with another.
The giver of all good things are sent from heaven above, rain and sun, day and night, justice and righteousness, bread to the eater, seed to the sower, peace to the old, energy to the young, joy to the babies. We are takers who take from you, day by day, daily bread, taking all we need as you supply, taking in gratitude and wonder and joy, and then taking more than we need. Taking more than you give us, taking from our sisters and brothers, taking from the poor and the weak, taking because we are frightened and so greedy, taking because we are anxious and so fearful, taking because we are driven and so uncaring. Give us peace beyond our fear and so end our greed. Turn our taking into giving, since we are in your giving image. Make us giving like you, giving in joy, not taking, giving as your love is given for us all, given, never taking. Our life comes from you, God, and we yield our lives back to you now in prayer. Prayer is a great antidote to the illusion that we are self-made.
Christ has died.
Eucharist is to live inside of God's imagination. It is to be caught up in what is really real, the body of Christ.
Together the words Jesus shared with his disciples and those around him long ago. They have been named the Lord's Prayer by the church, and they have been changed and modified throughout the generations. And this comes to us from the New Zealand Prayer Book as a paraphrase. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. The bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and upon the gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through them, Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. We encourage all of our friends that are online and from wherever you are to bring close to you your bread and your cup of juice. We encourage everyone here to take a breath and to settle into the space and to remember that every week there are folks for whom this is something brand new, and every week there are folks for whom this is a spiritual practice, and so we move with intention but also with care for one another. You can't make a mistake. You really, really can't. There are going to be stations at here and in the rear of the sanctuary. You take a piece of bread off the plate and dip it in the cup of grape juice. I want you to know there's also a little platter that has crackers that don't have gluten in them, so that we might all share together. Around you, surrounding you, are stations for prayer, either kneeling or standing, or simply stay right where you are and breathe into your body.
Friends, this is the body of Christ, the bread of life broken for you all, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the world. encourage those praying with candles to stay for as long as you desire in that spirit of prayer. Loving God, we give thanks to you for this holy mystery through which you are revealed to creation in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread. May this time, may this act bind us together and call us into the world as expressions of your healing and your hope now and always. Amen. Amen. We hope that you will wonder about the next steps which God invites you to take in this moment. As Sarnit invited, many of us are making deep commitments to share some of the ways we hope to root our lives in grace and grow in faith and reach in love and give generously together. And we are so grateful for those that have already taken time to make those. And we invite those who haven't had an opportunity yet to do so to take time today to do just that. Just outside of the sanctuary, for those of us that are in person, Andy has Rise Up Bread. So if you pre-order, it'll be there with your name on the loaf. And if you weren't able to, there are also some OG sourdough loaf bread that are outside as well. We do have two openings in the Growing in Faith series, which will be a retreat format, December 1st and 2nd. So we invite you to wonder if that might be a next step that you could take to connect with others and learn a little bit more about how we practice our faith here at the table. And I want to invite us to stand in body or in spirit. Our musicians, as we just learned at the end of Linda's message, are going to send us out with a song that is off of that new album that they released about 2 weeks ago now. This is our music team inviting us together and to give out your love.
When I was a young boy, my mama taught me a lot. One of the things she said to me was, give all the love you got. Now I've gone out in the world, helping where I could.
Love doesn't discriminate,
and mama don't think it should. Now, if you want a world that's good,
gotta give out your love,
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 gotta give out, gotta give out.
As I've grown up through the years, some things I saw I couldn't take. Disrespect and disbelief almost caused my soul to break. People fought with guns and gave feelings that I could relate to.
Mama's words, they came as strong.
It's a subtle thing, but I really like how that song lifts up mothers and our words that we share, and we never know, is it going in one ear and out the other? It didn't. It resides in the song, right? So May we face each day with courage, recalling these prophets' words, you know? And may those words not keep us downcast, but spark our imagination, spark our sense that we can live into an alternative economy this day, every day. Amen.
If you want a world that's filled with,
if you want a world that's filled with,
if you want a world that's filled with peace and harmony, open up
your heart to us,
and spread the
love you long to see.
You gotta give out.
Thank you.